For those who mark the seventh Sunday of Easter, it is the in-between time between the ascension of the Lord and the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost. Our gospel passage today is the conclusion of Jesus' final prayer before departing for the Garden of Gethsemane and the events of the Passion. One way is to read this as part of Holy Week, during the retelling of the final supper that Jesus celebrated with his friends and followers. But as we read this passage today, those events are past. And since that meal, they and we have walked the path to the cross, prayed as Jesus gave his life for us, and stood with Mary outside of the empty tomb. We have celebrated the resurrection and, just last Thursday, the ascension. Jesus was victorious over the grave and now has been raised to sit at the right hand of God. But the disciples and we are still trying to understand what all this means. So in this in-between time, as we await Pentecost, we return to Jesus' prayer. It is a prayer that looks to the future. Jesus is praying not only for the people seated around him at the table that evening, but also for his future followers. So, do you see yourselves in today's scripture reading? I ask not only on behalf of these, but on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. This is the prayer that focuses on unity, on all being one. But we live in a world where disunity seems to be celebrated more than unity. We live in a world where conflict gets all the press, and people seem happiest when other people are at odds with each other. For Jesus, unity is not something that comes because we are the same, or that we believe everything exactly alike, or that we share common history. For Jesus, our unity comes from the unity of the Father and of the Son. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us. In other words, our unity has nothing to do with our sameness, but everything to do with our understanding and participation of God in Christ. We borrow our unity from the unity of the Father and the Son. Jesus knew that he will not be with his disciples much longer. He also knew that if his disciples are fighting about Jesus' message, how to run the church, what the church should believe and do, that no one will accept the words of divided disciples. And yet, Jesus didn't call disciples who were exactly the same. Some were fishermen, some religious zealots, some tax collectors, folks who would not have hung out together except for the presence and message and love of Christ. Maybe Jesus figured if this ragtag band of misfit disciples could get along, then people would have to believe that their leader was not only sent by God, but in constant communion with God and in communion with them through God. It is relatively easy to love folks who are just like us, but the church is to show Christ's love across racial, cultural, generational, and economic divides as we worship together and care for one another. How can we make God more visible in our community through our conduct. I don't think we even realize that most of the time it will be the little things we do that will actually make a big difference. Part of our problem is that we tend to think only of the extraordinary stories and examples we have heard. And as a result, we quickly get discouraged. And because such things are not happening in our lives that way. Maybe sometimes we need to focus more on being the person God wants us to be, which then can lead us to do something extra or something new. I saw this marvelous story about a pastor years ago in Vietnam who was granted an accreditation certificate as a preacher of the gospel, authorizing him to carry out his ministry in the community where he lived. What was so unusual about this was that this certificate came from the atheistic and communist government that had imprisoned him many, many times over the years because he was preaching God's word. So why did they release him? Because in prison, he had led so many people to Christ that the authorities decided that he would do less damage outside of the prison from their point of view than on the inside. That pastor's small prison ministry had a great impact on those who were incarcerated by introducing them to God's word for the first time. To a significant degree, this kind of impact on a wider community is determined by the way in which we treat one another, by our words and by our actions, because people recognize when there is genuine love and care being shown them. People are quick to pick up if these actions are true or just an act. And I can't think of a better example of this than the many ministries found here at St. Paul's that offer true care and genuine help. As a matter of fact, today, St. Paul's has been hosting the Rise Against Hunger meal packaging event that took place in our parish hall from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The meals they are putting together are distributed through global partners that administer school feeding programs, orphanages, health clinics, vocational training, and a growing focus on the education and empowerment of women. And if you had a chance today to participate, or if you've participated on previous occasions, the picture is always the same. Parishioners of all ages learning there is something impactful they can do to make this world a better place for all. Jesus' prayer reminds us that our unity, our oneness, is to be a sign to the world of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. Oneness and unity is about love. And if you have been part of a family, a member of a church, or a community, you know that within that love, there can be disagreements and squabbling. We are all human. But the mystery of the incarnation is that God desired unity with us so much, God became one of us. And in that moment, we were drawn into the oneness of God, the Creator, Father, Mother, the Son, and the Spirit. It is with God's help that you and I can live into that oneness. Amen.